Yes, I'm very excited today, City Limits, and I'm sorry if I ignored you a few minutes ago. I was very excited to do some rehearsals with Doran and Adam, as I usually do. It's wonderful to see you.
Great to see you, too, as well.
Did you get a haircut?
No.
You look unbelievable today.
Do I have a glowing aura to me? I feel like I do today.
You're a chameleon. Did you know that? And I mean that in the most complimentary of ways.
Could you explain yourself?
Yes. You look different, like a completely different person every day. It's unbelievable.
I feel like I look like the same exact person almost every day.
No, you're totally different today. You're clean shaven. There's no ball cap. There's no nothing. The hair is coiffed up. Again,
good word.
Admittedly, thank you, in a little Jim Carrey, Ace Ventura style, which is common for you, but the look is different. You look like a different man every single day. You look great, by the way.
$1 million, I hope.
Yeah, $1 million at least. I want to open with a six-pack. We have Chris Hope today instead of tomorrow. But without further ado here, we got tons of football. We got tons of everything today. I'm very excited. I'm hyped on pumpkin spice coffee. A six-pack? Are you agreeable? Let's do this?
Very, very much agreeable.
Please. Oh, that sounds good. I bet Ron wishes he were here. Of course, he's already done with his morning six-pack, and he's working on number 7 at 10:05. Cooper Blanken Cup is where I want to start here. Limitless wonder. Cooper Cup is on the market. It's very clear at this point. He's 31. He's had injuries. I understand that. He's coming off a high ankle sprain. Man, does this put a lot of eyes, especially around here, on tomorrow night's Rams-Vikings game. Because as Diana Russini and others are reporting, this guy can be had. And the more the Rams lose, the more likely he is to be traded. Word was, if they lost these two games, and they've already lost one of them, that He was more likely to be on the block. So root for that tomorrow night and root for the Steelers to get Cooper Kupp. I'm hearing all kinds of crazy things on this station and elsewhere about how he's only a slot receiver. What? Hey, what are you talking about? There's a YouTube video, and I would recommend you all go out and look at it, of all 21 targets. Yes, I said 21 from the Rams opening game against the Lions this season. Just go watch it. There was no sound to it. At least I couldn't find the sound. As you know, Limits, maybe more than anybody, I'm technologically challenged.
No.
So I couldn't find if there was sound, but you don't need it. He's everywhere. He's out by the hash marks. He's in the slot a lot. He's in motion a lot. He's running the types of patterns that anybody from Van Jefferson to Pat Freiermuth to Connor Hayward to even Pickens himself is running. As near as I can tell, he's all over the place. And guess what else? He's always open. He's always open. There is no better route runner in the NFL than Cooper Kupp. Did a deep dive on all things Cooper Kupp. He beats man, he beats zone, and just watch the video. Are there risks? Of course there are. He's 31. He's injury prone. There's no doubt about that. But money wise, as near as I could tell, and there were some conflicting reports, he's only guaranteed $5 million next season. He has a $20 million salary, $5 million next season, and nothing in 2026. Nothing. So you move on if it doesn't work out. But in the meantime, if it takes a second round pick to get the deal done, I think the Steelers are in position to do that. I think they are. You know, it's interesting to look at the Steelers' condition, the state of things right now. Because on one hand, you have extreme urgency, right? You have a coach who hasn't won a playoff game, yes, since Mulsey had hair. 7 years ago. 7 years. You have a franchise pillar of a defensive lineman who's 35 and has been part of one playoff win. Thank you, Pac-Man Jones and Vontaze Burfict, for handing Cam Hayward that win. You have a superstar edge rusher who just turned 30 2 weeks ago, who's in danger of becoming this era's Dick Butkus, which is to say, a legendary player who never played in a playoff win. Did I fail to mention anybody? Did I mention the quarterback who's 36 and who has no future guarantees at all? All that screams urgency. It screams emergency is what it does, Limits. It's an emergency around here. This franchise breathes on big wins. The Pittsburgh Steelers' oxygen is big wins, and they've been gasping for air for years now. They need this. It's urgent. Do something. Somebody do something. We're gasping for air over here. And then at the same time, and this makes the deal or giving up a second round pick even more palatable to me, you have plenty of young talent. You appear to have chosen very well in recent years. So it's not like you're bereft of under 25 players around here where a second round pick, my God, we need it. We need more and more young talent. We can't afford to give up that. No, the fact that you have all these guys in that age group, and I could start the list, you could help me, Zach Frazier, Keanu Benton, George Pickens, Mount Washington, Nick Herbig, Troy Fotanu, you hope.
Broderick Jones.
You hope. Peyton Wilson. The list goes on. Did I mention Joey Porter Jr.? You've got guys. You've got young guys. That makes it less impactful on your franchise in a negative way to give up a second round pick. More guilt-free to give up a second round pick. You're in position to do this. You're in position to do this without mortgaging your franchise. I think the franchise would survive. And look what you're getting. Look what you're getting. Now, obviously, you got to check the health. If Cooper Kupp is out there running around tomorrow night like I don't know, Ben in his last year or Hines, late stage Hines Ward, where you had to design a little, you know, shotgun pitch play to get him his 1,000th catch because he could run. He could barely walk by the end of his career, let alone run. Yeah, you got to make sure that Cooper Kupp is still healthy or is healthy right now. He's coming off a high ankle sprain. But again, all you got to do is turn on the tape of week one. Watch that dude. Can you imagine him always open within 10 yards? Not that he can't go deep. He can do that too. But he's always open. Him and Russell Wilson were made for each other. What that would do for Pickens and everybody else. People act like a second round pick is somebody showing up at your door with a lottery check. Like it's, oh my God. Not you can't, like it's off the table, a second round pick. I'm all in on Cooper Kupp, Limits, and I'm sorry I took so long with the first six-pack item, and I would love for you to weigh in. Are you with me or against me?
No, I'm 100% with you on this, Joe. I think Cooper Kupp, out of all the wide receivers that could fit into this offense with the potential options that were available, Brandon Ayuk, Mike Williams, DeAndre Hopkins was traded to the Chiefs.
Mike Williams, you might as well stay with Van Jefferson. Mike
exactly.
Williams?
Cooper
come on.
Kupp, I mean, used to be the best wide receiver in football as of 3 years ago when they were winning Super Bowl, when they were winning a Super Bowl against Cincinnati at home. He is somebody who is still productive in the health. The health is the question. If the medicals and the health, you believe that Cooper Kupp is going to be healthy, a second round pick for the type of production that he can be is a steal. Like, it's a good deal, especially, I mean, you've had second-round picks that have been busts before. They gave up a first for Minka, albeit him being a younger player at the time. This deal makes sense. You can line up Cooper Kupp anywhere you want, and he's a good complement to George Pickens and fits the answer to the main question that you've had on offense all season. So
yeah,
I would do it.
And maybe Russell can answer some of those questions anyway. Maybe they're a pretty good offense without another receiver. But last I checked, the idea is to add as many good players as you can, as many as you can, because you're not just looking desperately, scrounging under your front seat cushions for one playoff win. You're trying to win it all. And you add a stud like this, and he's healthy and productive, suddenly you've got an advantage on some people. Suddenly, you definitely have better weapons than the Ravens in the receiving game. And they've improved there.
Yeah.
You're right there with Cincinnati, who could still be a factor in this division. They have Higgins and Chase. You have Pickens and Kupp.
If they have
you know
a healthy,
what I mean? It's a huge difference. You're way better than Buffalo in that department. Like, you're not as good as other teams at the quarterback position, even if Russ is pretty good. Maybe even if he's really good. You're still not Josh Allen. You're still not Lamar or Burrow or Mahomes. But having that guy can make up for a lot.
If they have a healthy Cooper Kupp, I think they win a playoff game. I think he can be that difference maker that puts them over the top offensively.
Next. And we'll get back to that, by the way, with your phone calls here off the top, presented by JP Roofing and Siding, 412-928-9370. All right, next item is DeAndre Hopkins, an intimately related item to the first. The Chiefs strike for Hopkins for, I believe, was it a fifth that can become a fourth? I think it was a conditional, you know, lower round, mid round pick, that type of thing. And good for them. But you definitely, especially if you bring in Kupp, have superior weapons to the Chiefs, unquestionably. I like DeAndre Hopkins, but he's sort of a Pickens replica, or maybe more accurately, Pickens is a replica of a younger DeAndre Hopkins. He's a 50-50 go up and get it guy. He's not an open up the middle of the field, you know, route running master type guy. You know what I mean? Limits. Now, good for the Chiefs, because they need anybody they can get at this point. They've been ravaged by receiver injuries, and their offense hasn't been very good. Their MO, and maybe contrary to popular belief, but their MO for a lot of last year, too, was grade A defense, keep it close, and then we have that guy to win games late, and there's nobody better, and maybe nobody ever, with the exception of one or maybe two guys, nobody ever better at winning big games late than Patrick Mahomes. That's their MO. It is. So good for them that they added DeAndre Hopkins, but that also takes them out of the Cooper Kupp market, which can't be a negative, right?
See, I have a little bit of a different take on this. I think DeAndre Hopkins is still a fine player. He's definitely not what he used to be even just a season or two ago. But I would not completely rule out Kansas City for still making a trade for Kupp. If it works financially because of how ravaged they are, their wide receiver core is basically what? Worthy, Sky Moore, and Justin Watson? Two Pittsburgh guys and somebody who runs very fast but isn't established yet as a first-round pick and Worthy, plus Hopkins now? I would still think that maybe they'd try to add Kupp because they don't have any other wide receivers.
You might be right. You might be right about that. I haven't looked closely at the Chiefs' financial situation, and I know the Rams are willing to absorb some of the rest of Kupp's contract for this season. You might be right about that, Limits. Maybe it doesn't take him out, but you could see the scenario where it does. Hey,
right.
We got a guy now.
They got
right?
$4 million in cap space. Kansas City does.
So we'll see about that. But the Chiefs have made, I would say, a significant addition that helps them. Would you agree?
It's a huge. Huge addition that helps them. Even though, you know, Hopkins isn't what he used to be, still a good player, still a very dependable player over the middle. And with Patrick Mahomes, I'm sure he'll be taken to a next level compared to what he was at, what, Tennessee?
Next. This is a heartwarming story, Limits. Aaron Rodgers on his weekly appearance on the McAfee Show. Yes, he can sign the footballs that Beanie Bishop Jr. intercepted off him. I think Beanie intimated that Aaron wasn't maybe in the mood to sign those after the game, which I understand.
Don't blame him.
Right? The guy who struck me out 9 times, I don't want to sign the baseballs right after the game. I get it. But he says he's willing to do that. And man, that interception, I think in many ways, won them the game at the end of the first half. So that would be nice. We didn't have a silver Sharpie for me to be able to ask A-Rod to sign it, Beanie told reporters. So get the right writing utensil. Find a way to have Aaron Rodgers sign it and put that on Beanie's shelf and Crowley's shelf, for that matter.
Put both on Beanie's shelf,
yeah.
Too. Get both balls signed.
What about Crowley's shelf? Can he give one to Crowley? They could split it?
I don't think Crowley is necessarily on the top of the pecking order for Beanie Bishop's deliveries.
I'm not sure about that. Next! The Penguinis last night. They played better. They did. Their goaltending situation is in disarray, even though Nedeljkovic played very well for parts of that game. But they wind up losing in a shootout. The story here is the goalies. The story here is Tristan Jarry. Sully says he wasn't a healthy scratch. Okay, Sully, maybe technically he wasn't. He's been buried. Does that term work better? Okay, he's not a healthy scratch. He's simply been buried. What is up with this guy? Not Sully, Jarry. This is like your quarterback just not showing up for the season. He's coming off a season where all these questions emerged about him. He was benched late. The guy that you're paying all this money to, they chose somebody else for the biggest games when he was healthy. Even when Nedeljkovic started to struggle really late in the year, they still went with him over Jarry. It became very clear that Sully doesn't trust his franchise goalie, his franchise quarterback. So if I'm Jarry, I spend all off season working like a fiend to be this guy, that guy for this team. And he shows up and plays like that right off the bat. It looks like he forgot how to play. And now he's buried. And now there's nowhere to go with him. You can't get rid of him. This is a disaster, Ron.
You're preaching to the choir on Tristan Jarry here. I mean, I've probably been one of the biggest advocates to move off of Tristan Jarry the last 3 years than anyone. I mean, the contract was a mistake. Over $5 million a year on a five-year deal. It was too long of a deal. It was too much money for somebody who has not been proven late in the season when it matters most and into the playoffs.
That's all right. Kyle Dubas is a genius. That's what I keep hearing. Kyle Dubas is a genius. Yeah, he gave tens of millions to guys who can't play, but other than that, he's a genius.
You got to play Blomqvist and Nedeljkovic as much as possible. I would play Blomqvist a lot more as we get to the middle portion of the season and then just give him this job for the rest of the way and move on at your goalie position to play the younger guy.
Next. Telling you right now, I mentioned that Bob sounded like Elvis Costello. Do you know who Elvis Costello is, Limits?
Yes, the artist, the singer.
Yeah. I mean, do you know any of his songs? Do you know what he sounds like?
No.
Okay.
I'll be honest, no.
That's all right. I'm going to send you some music. And My Aim Is True is one of the great albums of all time. 1977. I mentioned a little bit later than that, myself and Marshall Reinhart would go... Basically, it was a dead-end street with a forest at the end of it. And we would have a case or two of Jenny Cream, and we'd do, you know, layup lines. You have warm-ups with a couple of those, and you play My Aim Is True on an old cassette player. Every song is good. And I'm telling you right now that Bob sounded, for people out there who know Elvis Costello, every song's good on this. Welcome to the Working Week, Allison, The Angels Want to Wear My Red Shoes. That's an entirely different story, Limits. We did Male Water Follies as a spoof as a senior in high school, and I brought beer to those and dropped a bottle of beer in school, and it smashed, and I got busted and suspended.
I never knew that.
Yeah, that's what happened. They lined us all up and said, whose beer was it? And everybody protected me, which I appreciated, and it caused me to step forward and say it was me. I did it.
Wow. Do you think you would have gotten away with it if you didn't step forward?
Well, none of us would have. We all would have been suspended. And I didn't want that for my loyal friends. Point of the story being the Angels want to wear my red shoes. We had a whole routine in the water lined up for that. It's such a great song. Miracle Man, Less Than Zero. And just to elevate my mood, let's hear Bob singing Rick Springfield as Elvis Costello. The passion with which Bob delivers that last line is something to behold, is it not?
You know, Bob is a very passionate man. He really cares about you, Joe, and about Halsey, apparently.
He's also a very talented man. That's Elvis Costello.
TV, radio, and singing. Bob's hidden talent.
Next. Back to the Penguins for a moment, and we're going to dive into Cooper Kupp momentarily as well at 412-928-9370. When did we all become GMs, by the way? That's helped to ruin sports. It really has. So many people, you know, on social media, whatever venue there you choose. Oh, second round pick. Here's my value chart for a second round pick. I've got that right here. That's handy. You can't trade a second round. Get out of here. Give me Cooper Kupp. Give me the guy who a month ago on tape is right there for all of us to see him destroying the Detroit Lions. 14 catches for 110 yards and a touchdown. That guy. Can you imagine him? Think about the play the other night when Russ kind of stepped around a defender in the backfield and delivered it maybe three quarters to Freiermuth in stride. Remember that little play?
Oh, yeah.
A little insignificant play that was actually very significant in that it showed what Russell can still do, that he's not late-stage Hines Ward either. He's still pretty nimble back there, at least at evading one rusher to make a throw to somebody in stride under pressure. Now imagine Cooper Blankenship, who from 0 to 10 yards, I don't know that there's a better receiver in football. So every time Russell Wilson drops back, he knows that guy is there and probably open. I'm telling you, they're made for each other. It would be unbelievable. And you'd all get over the second round pick. We'll survive as a society. You'll survive as a fan base. The planet will survive. Everybody will be okay if the Steelers give up a second round pick. I don't know why I went into that. Next. The shootout. Do you like the shootout? I still love it.
Yeah, I do.
It doesn't sound like it. That was as lukewarm as an endorsement as I've ever heard.
Not as fun as it was when they first instituted it. And just,
my God, you sound down on the shootout.
It's fine.
Well, just say it sucks. That's what you think.
I don't think it sucks.
Yes,
like,
you
I like
do.
Watching
that was
it.
The tone of your voice.
I like watching one or two a year, but I mean, the whole overtime points thing, shouldn't it just be 2 points if you win, no points if you lose?
No, because then we wouldn't have 3-on-3. Do you still want overtime or no?
No, I still want overtime.
Yeah, overtime sucked last night too. Half the time these guys are skating backwards in overtime, regrouping. They should call it 3-on-3 regrouping.
I actually like the 3-on-3 overtime just because there's so much space and there's so much room for these skilled players to be able to create.
Sometimes it's pretty good. I'll acknowledge that. But I think the shootout is still the perfect end to hockey games. You can't play forever. There's 82 of these things. You got to find a way to end the game. And having grown up watching Hockey Night in Canada, where they had showdown in the NHL, and we used to have showdown in Buffalo, New York, Marshall Reinhart was also involved in that, I might add, although Tom Cusimano was my teammate. 2-on-2 hockey in driveways in Amherst, New York. We had an entire league. We had a 40-game
schedule.
You would pull your goalie late in games. We would paint our masks at Mark Lewis's house. So I had the Jerry Cheevers mask with the little stitches on it. You remember that one, Limits? Of course you don't. But we had a 2-on-2 hockey league, and I've forgotten what my point was. Oh, sometimes if the game was going on for 9 hours, you would just have breakaways. Let's have a breakaway contest. It's at the very nature of the sport. It's at the very nature of humanity. One-on-one, mano-a-mano. Is ah the word between that or the sound between that?
Mano-e-mano.
E-mano. Yes, mano-e-mano. I love that. I still love it. And it's a great way to move on and not play all night. It's highly entertaining. People still stand up every time they watch it. I like shootouts. They hardly ever happen anymore. So what's the problem here, Limits?
I don't think there is a problem. Like, I'm not offering up a solution. I've just kind of gotten a little numb to the overtime rules in hockey at this point.
I hear you, and I respect your opinion. Please open another one. All right, back to the NFL. And the Browns are going to start Jameis Winston against the Ravens. I don't even know how to phrase this question, oh, limitless wonder. But I'll phrase it this way. Are you a Jameis Winston fan? That's A. And B, I think I asked you this yesterday, but I'd like you to follow up. Are the Cleveland Browns the saddest franchise in American sports right now?
Yes, they are the saddest franchise in American sports right now. I mean, They do have, I will offer up a couple positives for the Browns,
yes,
though. They have Myles Garrett, as much as we don't like him, and he's in the wrong for a couple of different things.
Yeah, he's got 4.5 sacks. Who cares?
He is one of the best players in the NFL. They have Nick Chubb back from a gruesome
injury.
I do
like him. Are they the saddest franchise in American sports? They have a quarterback nobody likes who's now hurt with an Achilles, who has the worst contract ever in any sport. They're 1-5 or whatever they are.
No,
they're
gonna
headed
say no.
Down the drain. D and Jimmy Haslam are running things over there. They're taking the team out of the city to the suburbs so the dog pound can cheer people from you know, a thermostat at 72 under a glass ceiling.
Upon review, the Oakland A's are the saddest franchise in all of sports right now.
The Sacramento A's to you, buddy.
Exactly.
They're going to play in a Triple-A ballpark.
That's the point.
And their new home doesn't even want them. Two more quick ones. Please, limits. Go. LeBron and Bronny last night, a landmark moment in sports. I thought it was going to be more emotional, though. I thought they would go. I liked it. A lot of people seem angry with it. Why? Why would you be angry? It's a guy with his son in an NBA game, and even if his son wouldn't be in the league, if not with the Lakers, it's still pretty cool to me. But I thought when they came into the game, I don't know, they were going to come in and have a moment together on the court, at least the part I saw. They just walked in together from the scores table,
yeah,
like they were two regular guys walking into the game.
They should have gave each other a hug or dapped,
yes,
each other up or something.
Some
that would have been cool.
Some sort of dap, yeah.
Now, and they said on the broadcast, what is Bronny supposed to call LeBron? Because he can't say dad on the court. And they said that Bronny is going to refer to LeBron as just Bron.
Yeah, we had that problem with my daughter when I coached her basketball team in third and fourth grade. You can't say dad or daddy on the court. You have to say coach. You can't do that. So, yes, I imagine he went through that for a minute.
My dad coached my fifth grade basketball team. I called him dad.
Did you?
Yeah, I did.
Mm. Isn't that a nice story? Next.
It was great. The Griffey story, I think, was better, though, than the James story.
Yeah, probably. Otani's 50-50 ball fetches a record-breaking $4.39 million. Just our luck. We have the general on in the next segment to talk about such things. What do people do with these baseballs and footballs and pieces of memorabilia? Is it just to say I can have it? Here, like if you're Bob Pompeiani, he works in that crowd. Where if you're at a rich guy's house, they probably have a nutcracker. I'm sure you've experienced that. Only rich people have nutcrackers. So
yes.
You may crack a shelled walnut or something.
I don't know. I don't have one. I wouldn't know.
So you go into that person's house. They say, come on over here. Crack a nut if you'd like to. And then see my Ohtani ball. That didn't sound right, did it? That sounded horrifying. Take a look at the Ohtani ball behind glass here. It's worth $4.39 million. Why do they have such things?
I'm a memorabilia guy. I like having memorabilia and collecting it, but this is something that is just outrageous to me. I mean, it's got to be just some billionaire or millionaire that just has it as one of those show face type of things. Like, hey, look what I got up there on the mantle. It's right next to my signed boxing glove from Muhammad Ali or Mike Tyson. And I don't know. People like to collect things on more of a high stature type,
yes,
of level, but... No, I
should have rehearsed my opening line there on Ohtani. That was really bad.
Did Ipe buy the ball?
That's a great
Ipe,
line.
The translator.
Yeah, he gambled on it. He spent $25 million on the ball, even though it went for $4 million. So, I want to ask General in the next segment, like, what is the Moby Dick of balls out there? That sounded worse than the first line,
yeah,
out there. What am I doing?
Bad. You're trending
that
backwards.
No, that was...
You're running backwards, Deontay.
Deontay Johnson, is he going to... What's the golden... Is it the golden whale? Is that a saying? I should quit while I'm behind. No, what is the big prize out there is what I'm trying to say. What's the big prize out there in memorabilia? In all of American sports.
Probably Babe Ruth signed baseball.
Don't you think that's already been sold?
Well, yeah. I mean, are you talking about something that hasn't been sold yet?
Yes. What's the one everybody wants? About to happen? Has happened? A card? That's what I want to know.
Probably the Honus Wagner card from 1911.
That's already been sold.
Well, yeah, but that's probably what everybody wants.
Somebody already has it. That's the point. What's something out there that everybody wants that nobody has yet? That's what I want to ask the general.
It probably hasn't happened yet.
See, the pumpkin spice coffee is very, very powerful.
I don't get the question.
Neither do I. Next. Let me read you some of the comments under a Post-Gazette column I wrote on the Cooper Kupp situation. We have the GMs out there who are very, very reluctant because they probably have their own, you know, these little charts these people have, draft pick, worth of draft pick charts. They feel like it would end the franchise because that's actually worth 3.4719-3654 draft picks in future years.
And valuable.
Cost and everything else. I love Cooper, but age and injuries are an issue. I say no, says a man named Andy. But a man named Robert says very good argument for Kupp. Using him correctly can keep him healthy. I say yes to that. I mean, listen, either he's healthy or he's not. He sure looked healthy in the opener, then he had a high ankle sprain. Let's see how he looks tomorrow night. I can tell you this, a lot of eyes will be on him. Let's go to the line, City Limits. Who we got?
Here is Mike, who wants to talk about Cooper Kupp.
What's up, Mike?
Hi, Joe. How you doing?
Good. What's on your mind?
Joe, I was taking your advice Monday, soaking up the wind, feeling good about it. But now, with this Cooper Kupp stuff, and this is the third wide receiver that's somehow on the market, it's bringing me back to the Killer Bees and that Kevin Colbert and Mike Tomlin decided that they're watching an elite offense with elite playmakers, Hall of Famers, and that guys like Cody Sensabaugh on defense and others I can't think of right now were good enough to win. They didn't mortgage their future then and try to go for it. If they don't make a move like this, then I don't know what they're doing. T.J. Watt, Cam Hayward, they're here to win now. Forget about the future. Go for it now. Cooper Kupp fits this offense perfect.
If well, here's the other piece to that. Here's the other piece to that, and you're preaching to the choir here, and it was very well said, I might add. You're not mortgaging the future. It's not a win at all cost measure because the Steelers have collected several really talented under 25 players. They've got a bunch of those from just the past two drafts. So to me, that puts you in position even more where you can say to yourself, listen, we don't have to hold that second round pick at any cost. We've got a bunch of guys just from these past couple drafts, so we can make a move like this with less guilt and with less potential impact than we normally would. It's not like we're desperate to retain every single draft pick. We just made a bunch of them.
Yes. And I don't want to see TJ Watt not play in a meaningful playoff game. He's done nothing in the playoffs because there's been no opportunities. The last playoff game he played in, I think, was what, the Chiefs game where he actually scored a touchdown?
Yeah.
But we still got blown out that game. They got to do something. They can't look at Van Jefferson and Calvin Austin. And speaking of mid-round picks, they got one that's holding Van Jefferson's jockstrap right now. What are we doing?
Thank you, sir. What a nice man he was, huh? Why are you holding up two fingers?
We have a couple more very frustrated callers that want to see a trade occur.
Usually you just hold up one finger toward me, and it's not the "we're number one" sign. Go ahead.
When have I ever done that?
Figuratively, you have.
Let's go to Rob in West Mifflin.
Hey, Rob, what's up?
Joe, how you doing, man?
Good.
You know my saying, man. When it comes to the Pirates, those prospects are prospects, man. Those picks are just picks. Nobody knows if you're going to pick somebody in the second round, he's a stud. Listen, we can't keep holding Stan Pat, man. We got to make something happen. If you keep telling your team that you're trying to win a championship, you got to show them. You got to go get Cooper Kupp, man. I'm not worried about no second round draft pick.
Me neither.
Worried about that.
Me neither right now. Now, they've made some very good second round picks. They've gotten a lot of guys in the second round. Zach Frazier, Joey Porter, Pickens, Highsmith. They've made some great second round picks, but then there's James Washington, Sean Davis, Senquez Gulson, you know.
Exactly.
Mike Adams, Jason.
Was he a second round pick?
Lymus Swede was a second round pick. So, it's no guarantee.
He's a pro, Joe. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but he's a pro too, man. He's a pro. You're not going to have to worry about no on-field, no off-field stuff or none of that. But he's a pro.
Yes.
He's coming to work every day. He's working. Listen, I don't know what they keep waiting for. I woke up to this DeAndre Hopkins stuff. I almost threw up. Like, what are we doing? You can't keep telling your team and the fans that you're trying to win a championship, but you got one receiver. One receiver. You dumped all this money into the defense. When are we going to start paying attention to the offensive side of the ball?
Again, you're preaching to the choir, and that was very well said. Thank you, sir. And, you know, the concerns, other concerns expressed are, well, he's just a slot guy. No, he's not. Again, you can find on YouTube, just go look up Cooper Kupp routes Lions, whatever you want to Google, and there's a great video of every target he had among his 21 targets in the season opener. It didn't look like any two were alike to me. He just gets open. I don't care. I hear people say, well, Arthur Smith didn't use slot receivers that much or inside receivers when he was in Atlanta. I don't give a crap. Listen, the story's yet to be told on Arthur Smith, but early returns and his history tells me he's a smart guy. Any offensive coordinator worth his salt will find many ways to utilize Cooper freaking Kupp. So don't tell me the guy just stands there in the slot and because of Arthur Smith's history, well, this is a terrible move because what are you going to do? You know, he's got no real history with slot receivers, and that's all this guy does. And you got to give people a little more credit than that. He can run every route Van Jefferson can run, or Connor Hayward, or your running backs. Go watch the tape of that game. He's in motion a ton of the time. He's going down the seams, quick outs, way out to the boundaries, quick screens. Anything you like, this dude can do. He expressed, I think it was going into the 23 season, that he wanted to be more on the outside. I'm guessing he's capable of it. Have you all seen Cooper Kupp play? If you can't use him, then just fold the franchise, whatever franchise you might be. I mean, be serious with that crap. Anywho, Chris Hoke on the phone for an hour. Starting at 11, we'll ask him about Cooper Kupp. We'll ask him about many, many things. His thoughts on Russell Wilson. You can listen. Let me give you the injury report. Injury report brought to you by Shenderovich, Shenderovich and Fishman. They've got your back, not your wallet. I mean, the injury we're all looking at now is Cooper Kupp. Has missed a couple games, maybe three, with a high ankle sprain, but is expected to play tomorrow night. Let's see what he looks like against the Vikings. That should be very, very interesting. 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge, Route 19, Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. And we're also going to have the big boy, Mark Cabali, and get all his thoughts in the noon hour on this game and the Steelers' immediate future. He's never shy with an opinion. Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. Visit Sun Chevy, Washington Road, McMurray, or at sunchevy.com. High of 75 today with sunny skies. It's time for the General. General Patton, we like to call him Jeff Patton from the Baseball Card Castle in Cranberry. It is indeed time for Starkey's Card of the Week, and it's brought to you by the Baseball Card Castle in Cranberry. Contests run every Wednesday through Friday at noon at the 93.7thefan.com contesting page. That's where you go for your chance to win the card or cards of the week. Wonder Twin, do you have a guess at the card of the week?
I'm going to say Evgeny Malkin and Sidney Crosby, based off their great performances last week. 500 goals, 1,600 points.
What a wonderful man you are. I'm going to say Russell Wilson, coming off his debut game. I think that's an obvious one, General, but you tell me, and how are you?
Gentlemen, good morning. I appreciate you having me today. I'm on hold here. I'm all excited. We have such good content here. I have a primary card. I'm going to give you some secondary cards. I hope that's okay if we treat
Please.
your listeners this
week.
Primary, I know it's been 6.5 days. Geno goes over 500 goals, so we got a sweet card here. I got an autographed Sign of the Times SP Authentic Evgeny Malkin card to commemorate the 500 goals. That doesn't come around every day. However, we're going to throw in a Sid, 1,600 assists the same night.
Ooh.
Got to commemorate Russ, all the talk that's been on the network in the last week about Russ. Those of us that are 50 and over, how about I also throw in a Fernando Valenzuela card today?
Yeah.
Those that are 50 and over, remember that summer of Fernando mania? That was ridiculous. And now you got me all worked up. I got to throw in a Cooper Kupp rookie card.
Holy bird follicles. We're going to have our own starting lineup here.
I hope that's a good. And you know what? Let's put a Chris Hoke card in to commemorate the 11 o'clock hour.
This is incredible.
Wow. The general's acting like Santa on Christmas morning.
Little Limits is roaming around his house opening presents here. Limits.
So many.
This is incredible. Can you repeat all that? What do we have here?
I can. We got primary card. This is the one that'll show up on the website. Go click away. Evgeny Malkin, Sign of the Times, SP Authentic Autograph card from 2009. Features a certified autograph of Evgeny Malkin. We're going to throw in a Russ card, a Fernando card, a Cooper Kupp card, a Crosby to commemorate the 1,600 assists, and then a Chris Hoke to commemorate how great the 11 o'clock hour is going to be.
Oh, and speaking of that, very quickly here, General, we saw the Ohtani ball go for $4.392 million, his 50th home run ball. What is the holy grail out there of memorabilia right now? What does everybody want that hasn't yet been bought?
Well, the thing is with memorabilia is it's the iron striking while it's hot. Clearly, Ohtani piece of 50-50 memorabilia is awesome. I told you guys when you chimed in and asked me what I thought this would go for, two things. Number one, it shows you how hot sports memorabilia is. Number two, it shows you how out of whack the dollar is, right? That $4.5 million is something that's even achievable. You would think for that kind of number, it would be something Babe Ruth-ish, you know, the bat he hit the called shot with, something that's 100 years old. It's interesting. Ohtani draws in international bidders, which makes the bidding go higher. Holy grail. I still think things linked to the Jackie Robinson event.
Mm.
Changed the culture and tenor of sports. A uniform from Jackie Robinson, 1947, 48, circa. That would be, to me, like as good as it gets.
You're a wonderful man, General. We'll talk to you next week.
You guys have a great day.